Over here, guys, please don't feel kind of left out. In fact, why don't you come forward? It's warm. It's cold there. Come on, guys. Come and grab it. No, leave the food alone, Hugh. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you like to give things away? Are you one of these people that's got a heart where you so enjoy giving things away? Part of our Christian calling, part of our thing that God calls us to be as Christians is to be generous, is to give away our time, is to give away our money, is to give away things we've got. It's what part of what it means to be a believer is God has called us to be generous with what we have got. It is a most privileged thing to be a giver, in any sense of the word. And one of the things that is a hallmark of becoming a Christian is someone that's stingy changes and starts to give from their heart. Maybe give some money, give some time, give some of their possessions, whatever. But actually giving is what God's called us to do. And it's a wonderful privilege. A few years ago, I had the amazing privilege of giving away £2 million. It was a few years ago, and it wasn't my personal money, I hasten to add. Looking at me now, you think, that guy's never got £2 million. That's because I never did. But I had the wonderful privilege. I was a trustee of a charity, not connected to this church. It was nothing to do with us. It was a Christian charity. And as trustees, we had the honour, the privilege of giving out, in a short period of time, £2 million. I'd hasten to add, I did not benefit personally from a penny. Neither did we as a church, actually, because of the potential conflict of interest. None of that money came to us as a church. It all went to Christian missions and Christian works all over the world. And so just in case anyone hears this CD and starts writing in and saying, could I have some? I'm now no longer a trustee of that charity, and it is closed down, and there is no money, okay? Just to emphasize that before anyone fancies a slice of £2 million. It's all gone. The recipients of that money were prayerfully chosen, and then a check was sent for tens or hundreds of thousands of pounds to those different Christian missions, charities, workers, whatever. They simply received the check in the post. All they could do was say thank you. All they could do was spend the money on God's work. And it's a wonderful illustration this morning of what I want to talk about, because I want to talk about this morning the grace of God. And just like those charities that received those gifts did not do anything to earn it. They didn't have to work hard. They didn't have to prove themselves. They didn't have to say, we're this wonderful super duper, whatever, whatever, whatever. All they had to do was receive it, cash it, and spend it. And that's a wonderful, wonderful picture of the grace of God. Because God's grace towards you and grace towards me is his grace is something which is not dependent on me. God doesn't look at me and say, well, are you good enough? Are you worthy? Are you special enough? The grace of God is something which he pours out, not just on one or two chosen people, individuals, but actually the grace of God is there for us all. I felt over the summer that the book that God would have us as a church look at in this season is the book of Colossians in the New Testament. Last 2 weeks ago, I started talking from the book of Colossians as we looked at a passage in Colossians 1:4 about faith. And of course, all scripture, all the Bible is relevant to all God's people all the time. But there are passages, there are books of the Bible that sometimes have a particular relevance. And I believe Colossians has a relevance now for us as a church. And so my plan over the coming months is to draw God's wisdom out of this book of Colossians. I'm very excited because it's a remarkable book of the Bible. It's an unusual letter. The letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae is in present-day Turkey. And so you can, there are in fact tours, you can go and look at the site of Colossae, and it's just some mountains in the background, there's a plain, and there's a village still in that area. And there was a city, a great city, a wonderful city, an amazing city of Colossae that was there in the time, in biblical times. It's unusual because Paul wrote to the church in Colossae not primarily because they were heading off track. See, often Paul's letters were because the church, like the church in Galatia, was heading off track and Paul wanted to correct them. Paul wanted to get them back on track. Or the church in Corinth, book of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, there God is wanting to get the Christians, they're heading off on the wrong track, and Paul is wanting them to get them back on the right track. Now, primarily, I think the book of Colossae is actually, Paul is writing to them to commend them on what God's doing amongst them. And so primarily, it's a book that is there for our understanding and to teach us about so many things rather than it be a book of correction. So we start with faith 2 weeks ago, and today we're going to look at grace. And so I'd like us to pray for that this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that this morning we're simply those that have come here before you. All our different backgrounds, all our different experiences, all our different stages of life. And Lord, we're such a mixed bag here this morning. But yet, Lord, we're here as individuals and together in your presence before you, because we recognize that you are the only true and living God. We come to you this morning because we know that you speak, we know that you act, we know that you change. We know that you have the power to intervene. We know that you have the kindness to touch our lives. And we ask that you would help us not only to understand about grace this morning in a deeper way, but also to touch and to experience and to move into more of your grace for each one of us. Amen. Now, as we read through the book of Colossians, what we find is there's a number of things that the apostle, the writer of the book of Colossians, wants the believers there to receive and to grow in. He wants them in chapter 1, verse 1, he wants them to know God's strength. And in chapter 1, verse 2, he wants them to know God's peace. In chapter 1, verse 9, he wants them to know more of God's will. In the next verse, he wants them to experience more of God himself. And on, Paul has so many things he wants those Christians in Colossae to know and to experience. And yet there's one thing I want to draw out this morning that I believe was a key thing on Paul's mind when he wrote the letter. This is what it says. Right at the beginning of the book of Colossians, there's a little phrase in the book of Colossians. It says this right at the very beginning. It says, grace to you. Grace to you. And Paul's heart, Paul's desire was that these Christians, these believers in Colossians, that they would know, that they would experience, that they would taste something of the grace of God. And then the very last verse of that whole book in the book of Colossians, the very last three words of his letter, the last thing on his mind was grace be with you, grace to you. So the beginning of the book and the end of the book, he's got something on his mind that I think permeates the whole book. Paul wants these Christians in this city to know, to experience, to know more of this stuff called grace. Grace to Paul was very, very important. And he wanted these guys to know about it. See, remember, these Christians, he was writing to this church in Colossae not because they were in difficulties. He wasn't writing saying, look, guys, I know you've got these real trials, these real difficulties, real problems, and therefore I want you to know the grace of God. He was actually writing to them when they're in a very good state. In fact, one of the things he says about the church in Colossae, he says, I've heard all about you. People have come to me and have been saying, have you heard about the Christians in Colossae? This was a church that was really going places. This is a church that was famous for its faith. As we saw 2 weeks ago, as we looked at faith, they were known. These are guys of faith. These are Christians that are strong in the faith. And then they were also known because these were Christians that really loved each other. These were Christians that actually had a genuine care concern for each other and for the lost. They were a church that were known for their love. So actually, when he was writing to them, he says, actually, I've heard all about you. You guys are really going places. You guys are really strong in the faith. And yet still, his message for them was a message of grace. Even though they weren't down here struggling, they were up here walking, he says, you need grace. You need God's grace, grace from heaven. You need it. It was the first thing on his mind. It was the last thing on his mind. You need God's grace. I want to say this morning that we're going to talk about grace. If this morning you're here thinking, well, actually, my life's going pretty well. Praise God. Praise God. Things are going, you know, good. I feel happy. I feel strong. I feel God's going. Then I want to say that this morning, this message is for you. If things are going well, like the Colossian church, then God's grace is for you today. Because as we're going to see, you need it. I need it. But if today you're struggling, if today there's issues, there's difficulties, there's battles that you're facing and going through, how much more do you need to know and experience, not up here, but in here, the grace of God? And we're going to look at what that means in a practical way as we continue looking at this passage today. I want to be honest, for a long time, I grew up in a home, I wasn't a Christian, but I went to church. So my parents took me to church, I didn't become a Christian, I just went to church because they took me. It was a habit. So for me, I grew up with the word grace, and the word grace was just a religious word. And I'm not saying it was my parents' fault or there's anything wrong with the word grace or anything wrong, but it was my fault. I just got this idea that kind of grace was something that you say before a meal. That grace was the way that you, the word grace is the way that you if you greet a bishop, then you call them your grace. It's just one of those things. It's either a greeting, it's a religious word. But actually, for me, it never kind of hit home. It never landed on earth. It never actually hit my heart. I realized, it was quite a few years after I became a Christian that I just started to twig, hey, there's more to this. It's not just a religious thing. It's not just, dear God, thank you for our lovely food, amen. But actually, there's something to this word, grace. And I want us to try and look a little bit at it today. Because for the Apostle Paul, grace is something very tangible. It's not something religious. It's not just a kind of a bless you brothers over there in Colossae. Actually, there's something really passionate and earthy and real about this word grace. Paul starts his letter. He says, grace to you from God the Father. In other words, he's praying for them, he's blessing them. And what he's saying is, God the Father has something today he wants you to have. Just as us together as trustees, we gave away that we had £2 million burning in the pocket, as they say. And those checks had to go, and they had to go, and they went out. God has a desire to give and to pour out and to give away grace and grace to each one of us. And so Paul starts his letter, grace to you from God the Father. That God, your heavenly Father, has for you today grace. As long with other things like love and peace and other stuff, but particularly we're focusing on this thing of grace today. Like a check in the post or a deposit in your bank account, grace is very real. If you get a deposit in your bank account, you know it's real because you can spend it. It's there. And grace is something not, have you got God's grace or not? You know if you're experiencing God's grace and you know if you're not. Grace is not automatic. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't pray. Paul wouldn't pray in this letter and bless them with God's grace if it was just automatic. It's not something inner, unseen and mysterious, but it's something very practical, experiential and tangible. I want to give you a kind of an explanation of grace that I heard many years ago, and it's really helped me. Someone said this, grace is this. It's God's power poured into your life to enable you to do all that he wants you to do and to be all that he wants you to be. I find that really helpful. What he's saying is that grace, it's from God. It's his power. It's his enabling. It's God pouring something in you that enables you to do what you couldn't do. And it's grace that comes and pours in your life to enable you to do all the things that God wants you to do and to be all the person that God wants you to be. Now, do you see why grace is so important? Because without it, it's clear I'm not going to do the things that God wants me to because I've not got what it takes. And without it, I'm not going to be the person that God is calling to be, me to be in Jesus, because I'm not going to have the spiritual energy to be that person. So do you see why grace is so important? Do you see why for the Apostle Paul, he wants them to know this is for you guys. Grace is for you. It's an empowering for God. Without it, you can't do very much. With it, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. See, for the Colossians, if you read through the book of Colossians, Paul has got a lot of things he wants the Colossians to do. And we're going to look at it over the coming months. There's a lot of things he's calling them to do for God. But they're not going to do those things. They're not going to be fruitful or effective if they didn't receive the resources they need. They lack the power. They lack the ability. They lack the energy. They lack the gifts. They lack the love. They're going to lack the faith. But with the grace of God in their lives, they would have the courage, they would have the determination, they'd have the hope, they'd have the ability, they'd have all they needed to do what God wanted them to do and to be all that God wanted them to be. You must have seen those adverts that were on not so long ago for the Duracell bunny. And it was this little silly bunny thing. And what they do is they put some batteries in the back and they put some normal batteries in the bunny and these Duracell ones that go on and on and on. And all the bunnies would kind of go off and do their thing, these mechanical bunnies. And after a while, of course, in the advert, the ones that had the normal batteries stopped, failed, and fell over. But those ones with the extra powerful Duracell batteries just going on and on and on and on. Sometimes I think we think that becoming a Christian is like God putting these Duracell batteries in us. That God, when we become a Christian, puts a zap in us. He puts some kind of boof inside our lives. And then we just go on. And now I've got it from God. Now I've got it. I can just do it. God's called me. I've got it. He's put it in my life. I'm off now. And like the Duracell bunny, I can just go and do whatever God's calling me to do and to be all that God called me to be. I want to say absolutely not. See, God's called us to be dependent on him. God's called us to be those who cannot live day by day apart from receiving his grace. I haven't got in me what it takes to live the life that God's calling me to do. I haven't got those Duracell batteries in my life. It's not how it works. And Paul wanted the Colossians to realize it's only by grace. It's only by you receiving fresh, God's empowering life and energy and ability and gifts and power and love. Only by me receiving it for now and for 1 hour's time and for this afternoon and for this evening. Only by continuing to receive am I going to do what God wants me to do. Otherwise, I'm going to light those bunnies with the not Duracell batteries. I'm just going to kind of flake out and fail and not manage. How many times have I felt, God, I've just got no energy, I've got no faith, I just can't do this, I just feel frustrated, I just feel in myself. How many times have we felt like that? And that's an indication that that we need more grace, that we need more of this stuff, this tangible empowering from God that Paul wanted the church to have. Paul wanted them to have it, he wants us to have it. And where does it come? It comes freshly from God your Father. God your Heavenly Father wants freshly, hour by hour, to impart and to pour into your life and my life the energy, the strength, the gifts, the ability, the life, the love, all that I need to do all he wants me to. So if I'm feeling frustrated and run out and lacking of energy and kind of hit the wall, it's a sign that it's a symptom I've run out of grace and I need to go back to my Heavenly Father. Father, can I have some more grace? Can I have more of this stuff flowing into my heart? God has made us so that we need grace. That's the word. That's the deal. The deal is God has made us in our Christian life. So I don't just say, God, I get saved and God says, go off and be wonderful for me. Actually, what God says is, okay, you're saved. Now, daily, in some kind of intimate cooperation, I need to receive the grace. I need it. That's why from beginning to end of this letter, Paul is concerned that they know grace. I want to ask you this morning, have you run out? Are you the Duracell bunny that's kind of, you flopped over like this because the batteries have run out? If that's you this morning, then I've got good news. The good news is your Heavenly Father has fresh grace for you. Fresh empowering to give you strength and give you hope and give you encouragement and give you enthusiasm and give you what you need for now and what you need for this afternoon and what you need for this evening and what you need for tomorrow morning. That's the wonderful news of God's grace. This morning, do you need God's grace? Apostle Paul would say, if he was here this morning and preaching, I believe he'd say, yes, you do. All of you do. All of us do need God's grace. We need grace for the workplace. Where we work, there may be tricky people. Things may not all go smooth. We need some strength and something from heaven to help us with our work and our colleagues. In our families, we may be challenged. There may be difficulties. Everyone may not always be easy. And we may need something from heaven to help us with our relationships in our families. In our situations, in our witness, so that we could touch the lives of others, we will need God's empowering presence, filling our lives, giving us boldness and courage and words to say. In fact, in our everyday challenges, we are not going to do it. Friends, we're not going to do it. We are not without the grace of God. God's made it like that, so that we will work in cooperation with him, rather than do it on your own. I know in this room, this morning we've got lots of testimonies of God's grace. Rob was reminding us in the prayer meeting on Tuesday how we so easily forget what God's done in the past. It's so easy. You know, God's done amazing things and yet we just forget and move on and forget those amazing testimonies of the grace of God. I look back on some things in my life. Sometimes I've come through a tough time and I think, how did I ever get through that time? I look back and think, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the strength. But actually, looking back, I realized God poured out his grace. God gave me the strength, the ability, all I needed to get through that situation. Have you ever shared the love of Jesus with someone and they've responded, you've been able to pray with them, or God's touched them, they've been healed, or something's happened, and afterwards you wonder, why did God use me? My words were so weak. They were pathetic. My prayer lacked real conviction. It was so timid. But it was God's grace. God gave you the power to do what you needed to do to touch those people's lives. We've got a lot of testimonies here this morning. I've asked Barbara to come and share a time in her life where she had some special grace from God.
The thing I was going to talk about was when the children were little, before they went to school, they were obviously in the church creche, and it wasn't quite as well organized as Sunbeams is today, so it was kind of every man for himself out there with their children. And there was quite a number of us with small children at that time, but because Paul kind of does what he does in the church, I was a little bit like a single parent out there. Didn't have a partner or a husband to tag with and to take turns every week. And obviously my peers, Philippa, Sarah, people that were out there at the same time, they did their bit, but you know, I had two children, they had two children, and then a number of single parents became Christians and were coming to church as well, and they also had children the same age. So creche was fast becoming a bit of a bun fight, and I was having to stay out there more and more, and obviously none of us wanted to be out of the meeting in the creche with all these children, and felt we were really missing out. And I think when you're a parent of young children, you're particularly splattered, and particularly it's a time of really kind of struggling with lack of sleep and trying to get the hang of this parenting thing, and I think all the rubbish that's in your own life is just beautifully reflected in your children. So everyone's going, whoa, where did they get that from? So, you know, I just felt like, I think for most people, they kind of feel it's quite a difficult time. I had this issue, you know, was I going to go out to the creche every week? That's not a really good thing to do. What could I do about it? So I prayed and I really felt God say to me, I think you need to go out to the creche every week. This is going to be your thing now. And I'm thinking, God, I don't do small children. I so do not do small children. Even my own, I don't do very well. But anyway, I felt God say this to me. And so I said, well, you know, if this is you, you're really going to have to help me. Because firstly, staying out of the meeting week after week is never a good, you know, I thought that couldn't possibly be God, because why would he tell me not to come to the meeting? You know, that's not going to be God speaking. And but to be honest, I was a bit forced into a corner because there was no one else. And as he's, you know, when you feel God speak to you in your heart, you kind of know it's God. And it's sort of, you feel a start to feel a sense of excitement about something that's really not you. Then you know it really has to be God. So I thought, well, I can either grip my teeth through this, which may not end happily for anybody, or I need to pray and see if God will help me. And I couldn't imagine how God could meet me any other way than in the meeting, because that's all I'd known, really, that the times God has touched me in my life, I've been in the meeting with the beautiful music and the prayer and the teaching. And so I kind of didn't know how to do Christianity any other way. And I guess my prayer life at home was not sparkling. And because of my small children getting up so jolly early, I never read my Bible. So, you know, I thought, well, what am I going to do? So I prayed, and it was quite humbling because, you know, I was out there, I wasn't in the meeting, and it was very much out of my comfort zone. But something that I discovered was that the God that created the universe has more ways of doing things than me. And so particularly how it looked for me was that I started, don't know where I got this idea from, getting the CDs of the talks every Sunday and taking them home. And the only window I had was, I think it was a Wednesday evening. Paul went out to a prayer meeting or a meeting or something, and I was in on my own doing the ironing. So the CD would go on and I would listen to the talk when I did the ironing. And I found more and more, I'd get halfway through the ironing pile to the end of the talk and I would be in tears because God was really speaking to me through the talk over the ironing board. I mean, how bizarre is that? And then, you know, the ministry time would come on, and very sadly, because of copywriting, they never play the ministry time on those CDs. So you get to the end and you're like, oh God, oh yes, I want to respond. And I'm on my knees by the ironing board, and then it cuts off. And I'm like, oh no. And then I discovered, of course, worship CDs. And there, even back in those days, there was worship CDs around. And so I think, okay, well, I can't listen to the ones in the meeting, but I have got one downstairs. So when I'd finished the ironing, I'd go downstairs and I'd just sit on the carpet or sit on the sofa, put on a CD. And because it was something live from somewhere else, you could kind of be transported. And I was amazed how God would come and meet me there in my living room with my lack of sleep and my, you know, all my failings. And something that really, I really realized that actually when people are in a tricky spot, I think God's grace is so much more, so much quicker. And now I find if I go home and put a CD on, I don't get that sense like I did back then. And I think it was because God's grace was just for that time, for me. And so I learned to worship at home. Those CDs that came out during that 8 or 9 years, I can tell you every song on every track because I have played them to death. And in the mornings when we'd get up and go out to school, we always used to have Radio 4 on, you know, the news, very important that you've listened to the news. Well, I tell you, more than one round of John Simpson and I'm done. And isn't that who the broadcaster is, isn't it? And, you know, it does 15-minute loops, the news, doesn't it? So by the time you've had 45 minutes, you've had all that bad news 3 times. And I was never very pleasant walking up the hill to school. We were late, I was cross, I was stroppy. So we thought, one round of the news and then we'll put on a CD. We'll just have something jolly playing in the background, something Christian and jolly. Well, that transformed the school run, because instead of me being a real stroppy old bag going up the hill and everyone being cross, we started singing little songs, and God gave me all sorts of ideas of games we could play on the way up the hill. You know, when you're not very awake, that is just really the grace of God at work. And something, as I was thinking about it, something that happened was that my children learned to worship and praise. And that was completely unintentional. But now that they're teenagers, they do it for themselves. I mean, you've seen some of them up here playing because they've just got that in their DNA. And it must have been because God was giving me grace. So I think during that time, God really added strings to my bow, actually. By pushing me out of the comfort zone, he taught me to receive his presence in my own house, wherever I was. He really started pouring his grace into my family, changing us, showing us new ways to live everyday life that I would never have come across if I was just depending on a Sunday morning meeting. And he gave me grace. I think I was out in that crèche for about 7 years. To be honest, it was a long time. But it was really, I didn't dry up and backslide during that time. So that must have been so God's grace at the time. And I think often when we've gone through hard situations, we don't like to reflect back on those times because we'd rather forget them and move on. But, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, the fact that I received God's grace in that situation should give me faith to believe that he will give me grace for the next thing that's coming. And so I think it is quite good that we recognize where God has given us grace in our lives and be prepared to talk about it and to remember it and to sort of even dwell on it a little bit to encourage ourselves for the future for what God's got for us coming up.
Thank you, Bobby. The more I think of God's grace, the more I realize I need it. I need it in more areas of my life. No wonder it was the first thing on Paul's mind and the last thing he was writing this letter. In that chapter 1, the first chapter of Colossians, he says this. He talks of the Colossians, he talks about them understanding God's grace. This was the context of understanding God's saving grace, to receive Jesus as Saviour, be born again, forgiven of our sins. But this theme of understanding God's grace, I think, is vital in a wider sense. If I don't understand what's available for me, I'm going to miss it. See, it reminds me of something that James says in James 4:2. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. And so if I don't ask God for this grace, if I don't come to receive this grace, I can miss it. I might just struggle on. I could struggle on for months and maybe years, not receiving God's grace, not asking for God's grace, not getting God's grace to help me in my time of need. Perhaps for me, perhaps for some of us, I've missed out on God's grace because I haven't asked him. Can I ask you, are you this morning struggling through a situation? Does life seem like hard work? If it does, then God has his grace for you right in that situation. You don't need to be good enough. You don't wait to say, God, wait next week when I get myself in a better place. Right now, right where you are, God's grace is there for you to empower your life, to fill your life, to fill you with what you need to get through this time with his kindness and to grow, as Bob was talking about, to grow through this time. Not just to get through it, but actually to grow through it. Not saying that we're not to expect hard times or challenges or struggles, but God has this inner energy, this power that he wants to flow more and more through our lives. Now, the Apostle John, he knew a lot about God's grace. He was the disciple. He wrote the book of John. He wrote book of 1, John 2, John 3, John, the book of Revelation. And he was the disciple who's called the one that Jesus loved, possibly the closest person to Jesus during his time on earth. And this is what he says in John 1:16. John talks about Jesus as out of his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. In the New International Version, it says grace after grace already given. And the picture here is Jesus full of grace, and it's like a word picture. And the word picture is grace coming from Jesus, and then another wave of grace coming from Jesus. It's the picture of a wave after wave. Recently, We'd been with Gunnel in Sweden, and we went to stay with her. Well, the first thing is we went to a big lake called Lake Vättern. Lake Vättern in the center of Sweden. It's huge. It's like a sea. It's massive. You can't see the other end of this thing. It's a freshwater lake. And because the wind whips up the water, actually, as you stand on the shore of this lake, you get waves like you do at the seaside. My boys stripped off their stuff, put their swimming stuff on. They were in that freezing, icy water. I was a wimp. I just sat on the rock beside. But as I sat on the rock, wave after wave was washing in. And that is a wonderful picture of what John's saying here, is out of the fullness of Jesus. Jesus is so full of grace that a wave of his grace comes and washes my life. And when that's come, then another wave comes and washes it. And then another wave comes and washes it. Actually, out of the fullness of Jesus, there is wave after wave of God's grace for your life. And it can wash over your life and change your life. And then there's another one. And that will wash and change. And then there's another one. But I've actually, like my boys, I've actually got to get a bit wet and a bit in that grace. Can't be like me. Bit of a wimp standing on the edge looking at it. Wow, look at those waves. No, they were in that water. And wave after wave was washing them. And that way, that's God's grace. You need God's grace. I need God's grace. I need God's grace when I get up. I need God's grace to push off the duvet, stop being God's undercover agent, get out from bed, face the day. I need God's grace. I need God's grace to get out of that bed and to spend time with him. I need God's grace to face the family or whoever you've got to look at in the morning or even yourself in the mirror. I need God's grace to face the day and all that comes. I need God's grace as I face, if I'm on the tube, if I'm on the Northern Line, you need lots of God's grace. Loads of it. If you're driving and you've got to face those other cars and drivers, you need God's grace. When you arrive at work, and you've got those tricky colleagues, tricky customers, tricky clients, whoever, you need God's grace. When I come home at night and I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do in that evening, I'm going to need God's grace. We need wave after wave of God's grace. It's no good just getting one wave. I need a wave for now. I need a wave for later. I need God's grace pouring over my life. Also, we need God's grace to strengthen us so that when it, as the God's grace comes in, lovely verse in Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples, freely you've received, freely you give. If what's going to come out of my life is going to be gracious, I'm going to need to receive some graciousness, some grace from God. Paul talks about grace four times in this letter to the Colossians. Four times he talks about grace. The first time at the beginning of the letter. The last time at the end of the letter. We've looked at where he talked about the importance of understanding God's grace. The fourth time he talks about God's grace, he says this. He says that we need God's grace. So in 4 verse 6 it says, so that what you say will be overflowing with God's grace. He was saying it's important that what flows out of my mouth is gracious. What flows out of my mouth isn't bitter, isn't hard, isn't judgmental, isn't tricky and difficult. But what flows out of my mouth is gracious, is beautiful, is lovely, is building up, is encouraging. And so my conversation, as he says in 4 verse 6, must be overflowing with grace. And so, like the wave of God's grace has touched my life, so what I've received I can give. I'm not going to give grace if I haven't received grace. I'm not going to be this person that will come and overflow with grace without receiving it. Just want to finish this morning by emphasizing for each of us, there is more grace. There is more grace. I love the way the Apostle Peter, he talks about God's grace in 1 Peter 5:10. He says, God is the God of all grace. God is the only source of grace, but he's full of it. Out of his fullness, he's there. Grace to you from God the Father. It's from him to you. This morning, I'm going to ask, we're going to pray. Say, God, could I have more of this stuff? Could I, my life, be touched by your grace? Grace for this season. Grace for the difficulties. Grace for the good things. Grace that I can do all that you want me to do and to be all that you want me to be. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Oh God, thank you. We come to you, Father, our Heavenly Father, as the God of all grace. And Jesus, we come to you as the one the Apostle John talks about is full of grace. We come to you and we say, could you wash us with wave after wave of this stuff called grace? Could it touch our lives, our families, our work, our children, our parents? Could it touch the things that we're doing? Could this grace come and empower? If you're feeling today like that, talking earlier on about that silly picture of the Duracell bunny, but they're just completely run out, just completely no energy at all, nothing at all. God has fresh grace for you today. All he wants us to do is receive it. I was thinking about those checks that were sent out. And I imagine, we're talking about earlier on, the charity, the £2 million that we gave away. Imagine one of those charities, I know one charity got a check for £200,000. Imagine they opened the envelope, got the check out for £200,000 and thought, oh, that can't be real, chucked it in the bin. They would have forfeited that amazing gift because they just didn't receive it. They just didn't receive what was given to them. And this morning I want to urge you, don't forfeit what Jesus is giving you today. Jesus is giving you, and it's not about being good enough or worthy or in a good state. Absolutely not. God's grace is totally just for you as you are. And it's his power to do the things right now that you need to do. And to be the person that he wants you to be in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We can just open our hearts, just open our hands and say, Jesus, would you pour in this grace to me? I need it. Wash me this morning with a wave of your grace. Some of us, I think, are worried about work, either getting work or struggling at work in some way this morning. There's grace this morning to help you. To do what you can't do, to be the person you can't be on your own. There's grace. Lord, we just jump into this grace and asking, wave after wave, would you wash over my life? There's some of us this morning that are concerned about studies we've got to do. I just want to say God's grace equips you to do what you can't do and to be who you can't be outside of him. Quit worrying and receive this grace from God. Father, Holy Spirit, would you move amongst us this morning and would you just put your amazing finger on the area of our life that today you want to pour grace in? Just ask we quieten our hearts, open them before God, and whatever comes to mind from the Holy Spirit, even if it's surprising, even if you weren't expecting it, just bring it before God and say, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Grace in that area, ability in that area, success for you in that area. Some of us are worried about not being good parents, feeling that we've not done enough or we've not been good enough or we're not doing enough. And I just want to say this morning, I think God wants you to receive fresh grace to be the parent that you want to be, he wants you to be. Thank you, Lord. I feel others of us are struggling, feeling we're not looking after our parents in the way that we would want to, or we should, or we could. I feel again, God wants today to come and to give us the grace to be all that we need to be.
Yesterday, I went with my son to see my niece, and we needed grace because she's having her fifth child, and the circumstances are really anyway. We got to Gypsy Hill, and there was a coffee shop, and the sign said, "If your name is Grace, today you can have a free latte, you know, whatever." And it's like, And the Lord was amazing. I mean, I asked him whether he changed the name every day, and he said he does. But the Lord is amazing, because before we went, we prayed. You know, we prayed that we would have the grace. We would have the grace, and yeah, it's every day free. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, wonderful God. Because some of us are just wondering, how can I experience this grace? And I just feel the Holy Spirit wanting us to open our hearts to Him the best we can. Just to say, God, here I am. Here's my heart. It's open to you. Would you put in it this stuff called grace?
Something Nick had in the prayer meeting this morning before the church meeting started, and it was really beautiful. It was a verse he'd found in the Old Testament where it says, on the Sabbath day they opened the inner door, the door to the inner court. Is that right, Nick? Sorry, the door to the inner court in the temple. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And we were praying and saying, Lord, we want to open the doors of our hearts really this Sabbath day.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.